You really only need to hear Paul Robeson sing once to have the voice stamped in your brain. His singing was that distinctive, especially on his signature song, Old Man River. Paul Robeson was an enormous talent and an African-American man who did not suffer gladly the discrimination of his time. He was political and outspoken, and he paid a price for it. Paul Robeson died 40 years ago, but he's brought to life on stage on a one-person show called Call Mr. Robeson, is the creation of and the showcase for Tayo Aluko, who is both playwright and performer. He'll be taking Call Mr. Robeson to Ashland September 8th through 11th. That's Thursday through Sunday at the Ashland Community Center. Tayo Aluko is originally from Nigeria, now calls the United Kingdom home, specifically Liverpool. He has performed Call Mr. Robeson from Nova Scotia to New Zealand and many other places. He's a writer of more than theater, having written documentary scripts and articles and much more. Tayo Aluko, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Good morning.
How did you get into this business? I understand you actually spent some time as an architect.
Yes, I trained to be an architect but was working in Liverpool for myself, but I'd always sung and was asked to sing from time to time at various events. And one morning, June 23rd, 1995, I was asked to take part in an event bright and early, so I chose to sing a spiritual called My Lord, What a Morning. And after that, a lady came up to me and said, you remind me of Paul Robeson. Do you sing many of his songs? And I think that was probably the first time I'd heard that name. I'm ashamed to say that, but it's a fact. And then by chance, 2 months later, I stumbled on his biography and read it, and it changed my life.
What about it changed your life?
Well, reading this story of somebody who was one of the most remarkable talents in the world at his time, one of the most famous people in America in his time, and internationally famous. And then realizing that in my day, somebody who had been almost as huge as even Martin Luther King had literally been buried from history because of the things that he stood for. And, when I read the biography, I thought I was really angered on his behalf for the things that had happened to him, but also angry with myself for being so ignorant about what I consider an incredibly inspiring story. And I decided that it needed to be shared. And I've been doing that ever since.
I was surprised to see upon further examination that Paul Robeson died 40 years ago. So he lived into the mid-1970s, died in 1976, but was unknown, I think, for the better part of two decades before that time,
largely
because of the treatment of him.
Partly because of the treatment of him and partly because of ill health. If we go back to 1949... he made a speech in Paris in April, which was distorted by the American press. The nub of that speech, it was at the Paris Speech Conference, which included people like Pablo Picasso. And he said in that speech, why should African Americans go to fight against the Soviet Union when in the Soviet Union they have treated our people, they have raised our people to high levels of human dignity, while in my country, the United States, we are second-class citizens. Anyway, that speech was distorted by the press here, and he literally overnight went from being probably the most popular entertainer in his time to being the most hated figure. But he stuck to his guns, refused to go back against what he said. And, there was a period from 1950 to 58 when his passport was actually canceled so that he couldn't leave the country. Added to that was the fact that he was prevented from recording or having concert tours. Basically, his career was blighted. But he refused to tell them what they wanted to hear, that I am a communist and so are these people. But then he finally won his passport back in 1958 and went on a world tour for 5 years. But during that time, he became ill emotionally, physically, and mentally, and retired in 1963. And between 63 and when he died in 1976, he became something of a recluse, being looked after by his sister in her home in Philadelphia. So he had been forgotten long before he died, unfortunately.
That is a surprising thing to notice, because it didn't happen to just Paul Robeson, but people who are enormously popular and then say something, like the Beatles saying that they were bigger than Jesus, and suddenly you have people taking steamrollers and crushing records and record players and things like that.
That's right. That's right. Actually, in Liverpool, where I live, I have an American friend who remembers his family. They were a white Jewish family, I believe from New York. And he remembers as a child his parents going to the garden to bury their collection of Paul Robeson's records. Now that's saying something, you know, that all of a sudden this guy became seen as dangerous, not just by the authorities, but by ordinary people, because of the hype that surrounded his activism, or the misrepresentation of his activism, being portrayed as really a dangerous anti-American, anti-patriot, you know, somebody calling for the violent overthrow of the United States. You know, it's sadly, we see similar things still going on today. And that's why I think that telling the story is important for today's audience.
We'll get more into the creation of the one-man play, Call Mr. Robeson, written by and performed by Tayo Aluko. It'll be in Ashland Thursday through Sunday at the Ashland Community Center. Call Mr. Robeson is the name of it. We'll come back to the Jefferson Exchange and talk more with Tayo Aluko. You can join us by phone or by email as well. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest is the playwright and performer Tayo Aluko, who becomes Paul Robeson in a stage play that he wrote and performs as both actor and singer called Call Mr. Robeson. He has taken it to audiences around the world and brings it to the Rogue Valley for performances in Ashland Thursday through Sunday. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the life of Paul Robeson and its inspiration, not just to Tayo Aluko, but perhaps to you as well. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. And we've been talking about the astonishing talent of Paul Robeson. Here is Tayo Aluko performing Paul Robeson's signature song, Old Man River.
Old Man River, that Old Man River, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, he keeps on rolling along.
Tayo Aluko, how daunting is it to play somebody like Paul Robeson?
Quite daunting. I think the good thing about it was when I started writing the play, I didn't actually think that I was going to be doing it. I didn't have anyone in particular in mind, but it just kind of happened that I ended up playing him because somebody that somebody recommended, it turned out he was a great actor but not a good singer. So I stepped in this reading and just carried on. So I think I was spared the great nerves that would have come with deciding right from the start that I had to do it.
Let's talk about the process of deciding to even write the script in the first place, because, I mean, it's one thing to read a biography. It's quite another to decide to turn that biography into a stage work. And so how long a process was that?
Oh, actually, when I finished reading it on Christmas morning in 1995, I remember it distinctly. I said, this story has to be told. And what I did then was go out looking for playwrights, because I was an architect, not a playwright. Then over a over a period of 10 years, I had maybe three people working on different versions for me. I'd given them an idea, but nothing really came out the way I pictured it. And so, 10 years later, I decided I'll have a go myself and see what I can do. And my first draft was actually very terrible. I can say that now. But over a period of 2 years, the lady that I had met a while before, who was an experienced writer and dramaturg herself, who actually ended up also directing the play, a Nigerian woman in London called Olushola Oyeleye. So, we worked on it together for 2 years before I premiered it at the Edinburgh Fringe in Edinburgh in 2007. But even then, it wasn't really ready, and I carried on working on it over the next few years, changing it as I went on. But I think it has more or less settled now, and I am growing into the part, shall we say.
So
which is nice, because I play him as, looking back on his life, So I think I can, if I want to, carry on playing it for at least another 10 years or so.
Gave yourself a window of time in which to work.
That's right.
Let's talk about whether the skills in architecture gave you any assistance here. I mean, there's a level of construction that goes on in making a play or a building. I wonder if any of those skills were transferable.
Oh, yes. From having a concept and doing initial sketches to deciding how the structure is and then coming down to a level of detail. For instance, how do you light this particular scene? And so I found myself doing, I got a lot of help from real professionals, but then I sort of refine things as I went along, just based on living the part. So yes, having been an architect was great. I think one of the beauties of this particular one big difference, which is nice, is the fact that really it's me. I don't have construction companies or subcontractors to worry about at every stage. But the other thing is that I'm the one to blame if anything goes wrong, which, thankfully, it doesn't happen too often.
Tayo Aluko is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the playwright and performer of the stage play Call Mr. Robeson, about Paul Robeson coming to Ashland this week. So that's an interesting transfer of responsibility, though. You wrote it, but you hired a director to help you through it. So, I mean, were there moments when you, the playwright, overruled the director, overruling you, the actor?
No, because I accepted that she knew exactly what she was doing, and it's quite fascinating. And in fact, I've been reminded of that because I've just written and started performing a new play with a new director, and it's fascinating to see a script that you have put down on paper, given it to somebody else to have a look at, and they start putting their interpretation on it. So much so that when I'm reading or now reciting certain lines and doing certain things, it's as though it's been written by someone completely different. It really was fascinating. The process of being directed, whether you'd written it yourself or not, is wonderful. And I had faith in this woman because she knew what she was doing, and it's turned out to, it's gone down very well absolutely everywhere I've performed it, and that's thanks to her as well as the designer who worked on it with us and to myself, I'm sure.
So obviously Paul Robeson generated a huge body of work. I mean, how do you end up picking the key songs and moments in a life and not have a play that goes on for 7 hours or so?
That's right. 1 hour, 20 minutes.
Wow, that's very efficient.
to tell a life story that, was 77 years. It was quite difficult. So what I did was have a list of songs that I thought would be good and or necessary to have. So So Old Man River was an obvious one. The other one was Joe Hill, which is a Labour song known internationally, and others. And then on the other side, pick out the number of stories in his life that I thought were important or interesting. But then, and then try and merge the two lists together, and that's what I tried to do. And in the process, there were several songs and several individual stories that didn't make it. And in fact, and this is another example of how the director sort of directs, there was one particular song that I didn't like, that I wasn't on my original list, but she insisted that it should be there. It's a song called The Ballad for Americans. And it, that song was a very patriotic song, which he recorded in 1934, and that made him the biggest-selling and most popular recording artist of his time. But I didn't like the song because it seemed very jingoistic to me. But it's in there, and it's absolutely right that it's in there, because it shows how patriotic he was in contrast to the image that has since been portrayed of him as an unpatriotic American. So that's how it came about. You know, it's like a sculptor having a big slab of stone, and you chip away until, and then continue refining until the finished object comes out looking just the way you want it.
What do you make of the perception that seems to have endured of Paul Robeson? I mean, it's easy to except if you're not paying much attention, this idea of him as a hothead. But then again, any black man saying the things he said at the time he said them would probably be viewed as a hothead. How do you separate the perceptions that were laid upon this person from the person itself, himself?
I think what I do is just say what he said. Let him tell his story through me. So, you know, the speech I referred to, for instance, which was made at the Paris Speech Peace Conference, was one example. But then there's another example of a time when I said that his passport had been cancelled, and he was prevented from going across the border into Canada, even though you don't need your passport as an American to do that. So he went to the border with help from his trade union colleagues and sang across the border to a crowd in British Columbia, who were literally 10 feet away. And the size of that crowd was 25,000. And one of the things he said in the speech was, as for me, why did they take my passport away? They said that I had been struggling for the independence of the colonial peoples of Africa, and that is meddling in the foreign affairs of the United States government. Now that's too bad, because I'm going to have to continue to meddle. And I want everybody in the range of my voice to hear, official or otherwise, that there is no force on earth that will make me go backward 1,000th part of one little inch. So this was an American man saying, I struggle for independence of colonial peoples of Africa, and I'm being persecuted for that. Well, that's too bad. So, you know, is that hot-headedness? That's for people to judge. I tell the story on stage, and invariably people come away thinking, wow, you know, there was nothing wrong in what he was saying.
You would have thought that liberating colonial peoples would have been something that resonated with an American audience.
Exactly.
Given the start of this country. We're talking to Tayo Aluko on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the creator of Call Mr. Robeson, a play about the life of Paul Robeson. As you heard, an hour and 20 minutes. He gets this accomplished Thursday through Sunday at the Ashland Community Center in the Rogue Valley. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe you have some memories of Paul Robeson you'd like to share, some perceptions that we are perhaps exploding today on the exchange. Let's hear from you. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to pluck another moment out of the play from some of the offerings that are out there on YouTube. And so here is Paul Robeson deciding to stop a concert for reasons that you'll hear in this clip.
Oh, fellas, now my heart knows. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, but can I have the house lights on, please?
I have been going around the country for several years now, and everywhere I have been, I have campaigned tirelessly for equal rights for my people, for our integration at all levels of society. I have also insisted that I will not sing to segregated audiences. I thought that that had been understood by the management of this auditorium when this concert was arranged. But I see that their pledge has not been honored, because we have white people down here and Negro people up there. And for this reason, I'm afraid I have to say that this concert is now over.
That is Tayo Aluko playing Paul Robeson in Call Mr. Robeson, a stage play that he wrote and does perform. Talk about the responses that you've been getting from audiences. You've played this in a lot of places now.
Yes. It's such a joy. I think that's the way to summarize it. I've played it in Nigeria, where I come from, and I've played it in Jamaica, New Zealand, Canada, and absolutely everywhere. 60%, 70% of the time I'll get a standing ovation at the end of it. And people say to me, young people will say, I knew nothing about this man, I'm going to go away and Google him, or I'm going to research him. And that fills me with such joy that, you know, that one chance meeting with this woman who I will never remember 21 years ago is leading to me sort of spreading knowledge, not just about this individual, but about the political, social, and historical era that he embodied. I talk about his father having been born into slavery in the mid-19th century, but that same father teaching all his children, Paul was the youngest of five, teaching them to have pride in African history, pre-slavery African history. And that was transmitted through Paul Robeson to me, because even as a Nigerian living in Britain, I kind of bought the image that is portrayed in the media of Africa as a backward place, even though I had come from there. I didn't understand the reasons why the continent is the way it is now, but reading the history through Paul Robeson and reading around Robeson, understanding that, you know, how the Cold War was fought on African soil with grave consequences. It's information that is not out there, even in the most progressively well-educated countries in the world. And so me being able to actually share that information and see that it actually resonates with people, and I see their eyes light up, whether they be 10 years old or 80 years old. It's really wonderful, and I consider myself blessed to have been given this role by Paul Robeson.
The period in which you've been performing Call Mr. Robeson includes the Ferguson shooting of Michael Brown and a whole cascade of events since. How have those events, if at all, influenced you and your audiences?
Well, interestingly, that clip you just played, the Kansas City scene, I then go on to sing Joshua Fit, the Battle of Jericho. And I sing it with anger. And sadly, in order to really make that appearance of anger effective, I only need to think back a few weeks or a few months to something that's happened in Paul Robeson's country. And it makes me and clearly thousands, millions of people angry. And what can we do about it? Well, what I can do about it is tell this kind of story to illustrate the fact that the racism that exists in the United States is down really to ignorance. And if I can help educating people from telling stories on stage, then that's one of the ways I can contribute.
You know, yeah, I noticed that you've also had some other works that have focused on the slave trade through documentaries in your writing. And I'm just curious about the difference in, you alluded to some of this already, but the difference between what may be thought of the slave trade when it went on in Nigeria, where you're from, and in Europe and America. And let's pause at the moment because I need to go to a break at this point, and that might be a long answer. We're talking to Tayo Aluko, who is the author, the playwright, and the performer in Call Mr. Robeson, a stage play about Paul Robeson, the famous writer, actor, singer, who died 40 years ago and was forgotten by a lot of the American people after he was so outspoken politically that he came under the criticism and control in some cases of the American government through lifting his passport, for example. We'll come back and talk more with Tayo Aluko about Call Mr. Robeson and take phone calls and emails from you when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're getting to know Tayo Aluko, a Nigerian-British performer and architect, too, for that matter, but he's gained greater fame for his onstage performance of Paul Robeson, the late American actor-singer with a tremendous stage presence who was abused in part by society and by his government for his views on communism and segregation and other things. Tayo Aluko wrote and performed Call Mr. Robeson. He's taking it to Ashland this week, Thursday through Sunday at the Ashland Community Center. You can join us right now on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about Paul Robeson's life and how Tayo Aluko portrays it. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So the slavery question, I mean, it's taught even differently in different parts of the United States. My wife went to public school in the South. I did not. You know, even the way we talk about slavery in our history in the United States, it varies from place to place. I wonder, coming from Nigeria, moving to Europe, what perceptions you had of slavery itself and how those might have informed the construction of this piece.
Yes. Funnily enough, my new play, which is titled Just an Ordinary Lawyer, there is a part in it in which it talks about a Nigerian man who left Nigeria in 1945 to train as a lawyer in London. And there's a part in the play where I recall his mother saying, "Malo fajerekeo," which means "don't marry a sugarcane eater," i.e. a West Indian, because these were children of people enslaved to grow sugar in the Caribbean. Now, just that one sentence illustrates the fact that the issue of slavery divides even black people, be they, you know, Africans from people from the Caribbean or the United States. Even though we were one people. And, you know, the old adage of divide and rule has worked perfectly in many cases. And therefore, when somebody like Paul Robeson comes along and says to African people, you know, and fights for the independence of colonial Africa, to refer to the people of the West Indies and Africa as his brothers and sisters, and when in the later years of the modern civil rights era, the people in the civil rights movement began to get more traction by taking inspiration from independence struggles in Africa, and vice versa, the people in Africa seeing the African Americans having these huge liberation movements. And then other people in other parts of the world, like Northern Ireland, being inspired not just by the modern civil rights movement, but being inspired by Frederick Douglass when he visited there in the 1840s. I think it's the ignorance that has plagued us by, you know, with the imagery that we've been fed, be it of slaves in America or so allegedly retarded people in Africa, It's through stories like that of Robeson, I think, that we can actually break down these myths and actually unite among ourselves to fight the common enemy, which is racism and ignorance and injustice.
Tayo Aluko, I read your blog comments on the people who criticized Beyonce for, in their words, glorifying the Black Panthers in her Super Bowl performance. And I wonder if anybody got in your face for glorifying the old communist Paul Robeson or something along those lines.
Yes, I have. I think actually it was, I don't remember whether I was phoning into a radio program when the name Paul Robeson was mentioned, and they said, "Oh, he was a commie, wasn't he?" you know, and he's very often dismissed just like that. And my response to that is, well, first of all, he never actually joined the party, but he was, to all intents and purposes, a communist sympathizer. The way he described it was socialism, which I'm happy to see that Bernie Sanders has, you know, a word of which that Bernie Sanders seems to have rescued, but still sort of causes fear in many people's eyes. To give a very simple, maybe simplistic definition, it's that the world has finite resources, and these can, should be available fairly and freely to all people in the world. And that's what he believed. And that is something which a lot of people also believe right to this day, whether or not they want to call it socialism or communism. I understand why communism has had a bad name on it because of the likes of Stalin, but in the same way as the big political or religious leaders take an idea and completely distort it for their benefit, for the benefit of themselves and their cronies. I think that's what happened with communism. So, I call myself a socialist thanks to the influence of Paul Robeson, and there should be room for me and everybody else that believes that.
There's such a rich vein of material to use with Paul Robeson, and as we pointed out, you somehow managed to keep the play from being 7 hours long. But how much artistic license did you take? Were there things that you changed materially or changed time sequences or anything really? Or was
I
it
did.
All?
Mm-hmm. I did, yes. One part of the play, for me, the highlight of the play was his appearance before the House on American Activities Committee, which happened at a time when he was suffering bad mental health. He'd had a breakdown in June 1952, and he was subpoenaed and decided to go, despite his wife and everybody around him begged him not to go. But he did, and he made this amazing, wonderful performance. He wiped the floor with the committee, finishing by saying, you are the un-Americans. You gentlemen belong with the Alien and Sedition Acts, and you are the non-patriots, and you should be ashamed of yourselves. Now, in the play, I put that sequence after he has had a mental breakdown, having been drugged. But that drugging incident and he actually attempted suicide. That happened in Moscow in 1961 or 62, I think. But I put it 10 years earlier, really to enhance the drama of his illness before this performance. And I insert a figure of Mother Africa giving him strength to find that, to give that wonderful performance. So, yes, I have taken some artistic license here and there, but I don't put any words in his mouth that weren't his. When I make a speech on stage, it can be three speeches amalgamated into one, but it's really the facts. But I try to portray him as a man with flaws, weaknesses, but incredible and very inspiring strength too.
Tayo Aluko, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the playwright and performer of the one-person play Call Mr. Robeson. That'll be at the Ashland Community Center Thursday through Sunday of this week. Who is bringing you to Ashland, to the Rogue Valley?
My manager is a woman in San Francisco called Gail Schickele, and her company is called Sage Artists. And we decided to come because the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is on, and the publicity we sent out was to say the world's greatest Othello is in town, because Paul Robeson is the benchmark for Othello. He, to this day, holds the record as the longest Shakespearean actor playing a lead role on Broadway, which he did in the mid-40s. And so he's well known for that all over the world. And so we're doing that really as a promotional venture, so that whoever is there, we may get me to get invited to come and perform the full play in different parts of the country.
What was the most surprising thing you found out about Paul Robeson in your research?
I just think the man's resilience is just remarkable. I think going back to the biography, at a time when he'd gone home to retire, was in ill health, living in Philadelphia, and his longtime secretary and friend, Lloyd Brown, found a copy of Ebony, in which the 100 greatest black men were listed, and he was among them. And Lloyd said, "Oh, hey, Paul, look at this. You're among the 100 biggest people, greatest black men." And Paul said, "Pop would have been proud." So for him to have achieved such worldwide fame and gone through all that trouble because of his beliefs, the fact that he just refused to back down and toe the required patriotic line, that's remarkable in itself. But then knowing that he was doing all this and being prepared to sacrifice his career, his health, I mean, that is, you Americans use this word a lot, but I think in this case it's appropriate. Awesome.
Awesome. I thought that's where you were going. What would you say then, Taio Aluka, was the hardest thing to leave out of the play, the thing you most regretted having to snip out?
There was one part when he was in Moscow in 1949 and had been told of Stalin's purges against Jewish people in particular. And he found out about that. And he, in his final concert on that tour, he finished the concert singing an encore of a Yiddish song, singing it in solidarity with his Jewish friends, whose story and music, whose stories had inspired African-American spirituals. And yes, that particular song and that sequence, to show him actually saying, "I'm standing up for these people against this regime, which I thought were my friends, but I see injustice and I'm going to speak out against it." I think it's ironic that today people who do the same or want to do the same where they see injustice, for instance, in Palestine, and they speak out against it, they get attacked, as I have been in the past. But it's an injustice. I see it, and I speak out against it.
Do you demonstrate or take political positions boldly yourself? I mean, I noticed that you performed Call Mr. Robeson at events like the demonstrations against American bases in the UK, but I mean, do you do these as yourself, I guess, is the question.
I do them as myself, and funnily enough, those demonstrations happen on the 4th of July, mm-hmm. So it referred to as Independence from America Day. And the most recent one, I read Frederick Douglass's speech, which says, you know, "What to the American slave is the 4th of July?" So, you know, 150 years of history coming bang up to date, mm-hmm. saying that, you know, all this money is being spent on militarism around the world, but in my own country, i.e. Frederick Douglass or Paul Robeson, African Americans are definitely still being left behind and still being lynched on a daily basis. And the whole world is watching. And it seems that people who are, you know, people are still getting away with it. It's quite shocking. And therefore, voices like Robeson's. And I would like, if I may, to add one or two other names.
Sure.
Like Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Mm-hmm.
And Leonard Peltier. Chelsea Manning. These are people who should not be where they are. I would just say people should look up Mumia Abu-Jamal and they'll find another piece of shocking American history. He is in jail right now for being an eloquent broadcaster. So I'd leave it at that.
All right. And Leonard Peltier, we know well. We had his son on here, actually, within the last year.
Oh, wonderful.
To talk about Leonard Peltier's case. And
and this is a Nigerian in Britain, you know, talking about this. We've got problems in England and in Nigeria, certainly, but we are all affected by things that go on in the United States. And I'm watching your elections with a bit of horror, I would say. But that's not what you've called me to talk about.
No, but I appreciate you including that remark in there as well. So let's see. Call Mr. Robeson will be performed Thursday through Sunday at the Ashland Community Center. Tayo Aluko wrote the play and will be performing it as Paul Robeson. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank
All right.
You.
Take care.